Man, he is faithful.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, something, we was talking about that with some of the brethren. Some of these songs just make you tear up. That could be one. I could tear up to that one.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm trying hard to now, but pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Amen. Every day. Through all them hard trials. Just going to work every day. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. I mean, what a good song. All I have needed, his hand hath provided. And we forget that sometimes. Man, it's good to be in church this morning.
Amen.
I was reminded by Autumn to smile. This is my happy face. Masonry do that to people, but to me anyway. So I got this. Never wore safety glasses and chiseling on stuff, and you get this, you know, you kind of get this self-blocking of material going into your eyes that just etches on your face of 30 years of masonry. So, but I am happy. I love the Lord. Happy to be in church this morning and happy to see you guys. So let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this book. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Mother's Day. Lord, thank you for, Lord, just Moses' mom here, Lord, we're going to look at. Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, that we can trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for everything that you do for us, Lord, that we don't even know. Lord, thank you for your safety, your faithfulness, your protection, Lord, and the faith you've given us. And I pray you just bless this time, Lord, as we break bread, Lord, and touch our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter number 2, if you would. Or actually, number 1. We'll go to chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. Normally, I don't do Sunday school, so am I supposed to do anything else? Normally, right? I'm not singing a special. You got that wrong, but yeah, normally I'm downstairs with the kids and we have some interaction, so I like interaction, but I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, little ones, it's time to go. Thank you, Mike. All right, they figured it out on their own, smart kids. Exodus chapter 1, and just for a little back story here, it says, verse number 7 says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. I mean, I started on a sermon on that. I never did finish it. But I mean, that's a good thing to study out. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithon and Ramses. But I like this verse here too. I'm going to preach on it. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That'll help you. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter in hard bondage in mortar and in brick. I mean, that's good preaching right there, Lord. I mean, I'll tell you what. Amen. And all matter of service in the field and all service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor. And the king, it does get easier, amen. That's why I said, the more they afflicted them, they multiplied and grew, you know. Anyhow, we're leaving that. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall be alive. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And here we'll read these next 10 verses, then we'll just kind of jump back to verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw him that he was a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she went and sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse to the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thy wages. And it came to, I can't see because my tears, I apologize. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the Bible says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Moses' mom faced some stuff, huh? I mean, that's a tough decision. Moses here, and there's he's a lot like Christ in some ways. He was hidden. In this passage, I mean, it goes in there, verse number 2, he was hidden from the Pharaoh and from Herod. He was like a shepherd. He was rejected by his own. And he also had to flee out there into Egypt. He was hit that way. But Pharaoh had this charge in verse number 22 of chapter number 1. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born he shall cast in the river, and every daughter shall save alive. I mean, these Hebrews, they didn't start keeping track of their children until the first male was born. They know what we're gonna cast this son into the Nile River with crocodiles. I mean, that's the solution. We're just gonna feed the crocodiles. This was his charge. Moses' mom here in verse number 3, it says, when she could no longer, she took him for an ark of bulrush and dabbed it with slime. You know, no doubt she had heard the story of the ark. It's kind of funny when people say, oh, you know, Moses' ark. I mean, you say, oh, no, it wasn't Moses' ark, it was Noah's ark. What was it? which story are we talking about? I mean, no doubt she's heard the story of the ark. And she's built it up. She made this thing, and how the ark saved lives. She made this ark of bulrush. You know what a bulrush is? I had to look that one up. We had a pond by our house. We didn't call them bulrushes then. We called them cattails or corn dogs. You know, I had those, you know, little corn dog looking things. I mean, that's what we called them. But we had those out in Gresham where I grew up, and you know, you could always catch fish and frogs right by them. And we don't have gators over here, but. But she made that. It's like water reeds, cattails, you know. But she couldn't hide him anymore. So she gathers this slime. We all seen that on a pond. You know, that slime you don't want to step into. You don't want to, or even if you did have to go in there, it comes out and it's all over you. It's that nasty stuff. And she weaves this stuff all together, and she covers it makes this ark so there's no holes in it. So that ark will stay afloat. So it won't sink anymore. With the best hopes and the best intentions that Moses is going to be able to stay alive. The Bible says Noah used pitch. Same difference though. Just some sticky stuff. And she made that ark, you know, with the best intentions. Love her child. And she set it in the flags. That's a different kind of a water reed. It's just, and it actually has a little more flowers on it. Pretty cool though, if you look it up. But you know what? She's praying. You know what? She's probably crying. You know, she's got to let this child go. You know, and the Bible's not boring. I don't know. I mean, granted, it's got some slow passages. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, well, I don't know, Brother Mike. There's some slow passages in there. This ain't one of them. You know, it's a pretty intense, drama-filled passage for 10 verses. I think over there in Solomon, with all his wisdom, you get the two harlots and the one that laid on her child and killed it. And they swapped it out and they go before Solomon. And he said, that was my child. And the other one said, no, it's my child. And Solomon said, go get the sword and you can divide it. And she said, no, you can let her have it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not a boring story. I mean, that child's life's at hand. See here in verse number 4, and Moses' sister stood afar off to wit what would be done. You know, Moses' sister, you know, she's obviously, she's older. She's curious what would happen. How most of your siblings are. Sisters are like that. Stood afar off. Maybe just, I don't know, maybe she's just hiding behind some of those other flowers, hiding behind some bushes just to see what would happen. What's going to happen to my brother? What's going to happen? And I'm sure there was no ill content. But she's like, what's going to happen? She cares about her brother. Loves her family. Mom's probably pretty sad. And then she sees Pharaoh's daughter. Verse number 5. See Pharaoh's daughter coming down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walk along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark come along the flags, she went with her to fetch him. She sees the most, I'm going to say it like this, the most spoiled, decorated woman in all of Egypt. Pharaoh's daughter. Got all the newest piercings. Newest tattoos, the gold chain, the nicest clothes. She got the best iPhone. She got all the Gucci gear. Everything that Egypt has to offer. And she's coming with her whole entourage. I mean, what do you think Moses' sister's thinking at that time? Right? Right? What's going on here? What's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you don't know me. I try to imagine what's going on. You know what I mean? You can read right through, but I kind of like to go back and kind of, man, what was really going on? How did this take place? You know? Sometimes I probably got that wrong. I think the Lord just kind of straightens me up. If not, some of you guys can straighten me up later. I don't think it happened that way, Mike. But nevertheless. The sister was there, and she stood afar off to wit that would happen. And Pharaoh's daughter shows up. Verse number 5. Moses' sister's heart's probably pounding. Thoughts are just going crazy. The suspense, the intense. Is she just going to throw this baby in the river and just kill it? Because they don't like... They don't want the Hebrews. She's not a midwife. I mean, she's the daughter of Pharaoh. Or she's just going to push the ark down the river Let the crocodiles get it. You know what happens? Verse number 6. The unthinkable happens. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Man, the babe wept. You know, God knows how to get to a woman like that. There's reasons we only got women down there working in that nursery. Amen. Yeah. I've told the nursery workers time and order, you guys got the hardest job down there. That's a job, man. Cleaning up after a child just when it's crying, to have compassion. I mean, I'm always like this. Somebody, I mean, even when my own kid's like, Laura! I don't know what to do. Help! You know, I'm being honest. And that cry touched that girl's heart. The Bible says she has compassion. Crying baby. Think of the Good Samaritan. I'll just read it. The Good Samaritan in Luke 10:33, it says, but a certain Samaritan, we know this story. Let me just give you an example of his compassion. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came also where he was. This was the guy who got beat to death, almost inches of his life, stripped of everything he had. And his own people wouldn't even help him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. How did he have compassion on him? And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay thee. He's talking about having compassion. And having compassion on some, making a difference. That's what it says over there in Jude. I think Mike quoted that verse last week. It make a difference. I see how smart, and it's kind of funny how smart Moses' sister is in verse number 7. it's just a smart kid. She sees all this, you know, she sees her brother getting taken up and held in Pharaoh's daughter's arms, and she's got compassion on him, probably just sitting there holding him, swinging him from side to side, and they're all, what do they do? You know, she can't nurse, obviously, you know what I mean? And there's Moses' sister. And Moses' sister said unto Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? You know what I mean? That's hilarious. Like, just a smart kid. I mean, what you got to lose? You know, I'm going to go see if this works. I don't know if they were allowed to go up to the Pharaoh's daughter. Obviously they were in the Bible, but that's pretty cool. You want me to go get a nurse? So you can adopt it. It's Pharaoh's daughter's first child. It's hungry. It's poopy. She's holding it. It's tired. This is what that sister came up with. I don't think that she thought this was going to happen. Ain't a chance. Nor do I think. Then Pharaoh's daughter sent her to go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. But you know what? It ended up working. She said, you know what? I'm going to go try. The answer was no before she started. Went and tried. Yeah, go call a nurse. Go for it. So she goes over there. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, in verse number 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. So Pharaoh's daughter wants you to, the sister goes over there and tells the mom, you know what, Pharaoh's daughter wants you to come down and nurse the child for her. And Moses' mom's like, what? What? I mean, what have you been doing? Where have you been? What do you mean Pharaoh's daughter wants me to come over? Pharaoh's daughter wants me to come nurse the child for him. Where have you been? Where have you been hiding? What you been doing to her daughter? What happened? So, you know, I was just sitting over there waiting to see what would happen. And she come up, heard the baby crying, sent one of her maids out there to get it. And you know what? Now she wants you to come nurse it. Mom's coming down there and she sees all this kind of taking place. I mean, are you serious? How's this going to happen? How can this happen? You know what? Moses' mom gets to keep the child in verse number 9 until it's weaned. Kind of like Samuel with Hannah. Remember Hannah? She made that promise. She says, you know what? I'll keep the child till he's weaned. And after that, he's going to be in service for the Lord forever. And he was one of the greatest prophets there was. But she's going to be Pharaoh's daughter now. How do you think that went with the other women, seeing that Moses' mom got to keep her child for a while? And get to keep, she got to keep Moses, and theirs got cast in the river. I just thought. I imagine that was pretty tough. I was glad for her and tough at the same time. You think the people disliked her for that? She gets to keep her son that doesn't die? Not only that, but you know what? She gets paid. she gets paid. You know somebody complained. You know? Oh, she getting paid too? No, really? Yeah. She getting paid to nurse her child. Yeah, it'd probably do us all good to remember that. This is how good God, great is thy faithfulness, like we sang this morning. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Do you think she thought it was going to happen like that? Not a chance. I bet she was happy. I bet she was praying. You know, she knew it wasn't going to happen like that, though. And Moses, verse number 10, says, and the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. You know what? She's Pharaoh's son now. Or she's Pharaoh's daughter's son now. Got that out right. Thank you. I wonder how she convinced Pharaoh that. Right? Dad, I'm keeping this one. He's like, you're doing what? We're keeping this one. This one's mine. I mean, for him to go back on his word? Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah. I imagine a lot of people had to look at Pharaoh a little, oh, he let his daughter get away with that? Yeah. Moses' mom had to let him go twice. But she let him go. She let that art go. She trusted God. And because of that, we got the next 5 books of the Bible written. This is what Moses' mom was able to do. She doesn't know, but her son's going to be the one to lead him out of Egypt. But you know what? She had to let him go. So in the foolishness of preaching, I want to give you just a few thoughts. Some things you need to let go. You need to let go of some things that are too big to control. Verse number 3. And when she could no longer hide it, she took him for an ark of bulrushes. You know what? You gotta let go of some things that are too big to control that you can't hide anymore. Amen. Some of it could just be anger. Maybe some of it's just bitterness. It could be bitterness other people caused. This wasn't Moses' mom's doing. This was an ordinance Pharaoh had. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." He caused that. But it's easy to get angry. It's easy to get bitter at other people. I just know. And I'm sure you do too. Anger happens real easy. It can happen real quick, especially when it comes to family. Especially when it comes to your brethren. The Bible says in chapter number 2, verse number 11 and 12, it says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and looked that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." I'm just talking about anger. I imagine that didn't take that long. He just looked at it, and the Bible said he looked at it and he goes, "You know what I don't like that guy's doing to my brethren? I don't like that." And he knew where he was, and he looked that way, and he said, "There are no guards that way. There's no guards that way. We're doing it." And I don't know what he did, but he slew him. And he knew it. I had enough time before. If some guy comes over here, I got enough time to kill him and bury him in the sand. In a split decision, he just, "Yeah, I can do this." Letting go of anger and bitterness that other people cause. How about let go of some even people in your life? It's a hard thing, and this is a hard thing for Moses' mom. But she had to let him go. There might be bad people in your life you gotta let go. Might be. You might also just need to let go the way you think of some people. Imagine chapter number 2, verse 4, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at her maidens walked along by the rivers." And here's Moses, Moses' sister watching that, probably thinking she's just going to feed him to the crocs. And none of that happened. Change the way you think about people. Maybe you need to let that go. You can't fix it. You let go of some things you can't fix. You need to let go of some things you can't change. It's already done. There are matters that are too big for you. You can't control it and you can't hide it anymore. You know what you can do though? You can take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the best thing you can do. You can't fix it. You cannot fix it. And I found out that usually in those situations where you can't fix it, and I've tried so many times, and the Lord's just up there waiting. "I'm waiting for you to ask." Or, "I'm waiting for you to ask, Mike." And you're like, "Sorry. Probably should have done that months ago." Took it to the Lord in prayer. Amen, Brother Mike. Let me say this, you need to let go of some things you built. Maybe let go of some things you made. She made this ark of bulrush, slime. You know, she made it with the right intentions. It served its purpose. But you know what? You got to let it go. Quit dwelling on some certain things. This one's for the ladies. Some of you men probably need to clean out some of your stuff in your garage.
Amen.
Thank you. Your old 1982 Chrysler LeBaron spare tire you got is done, served its purpose. You can get rid of it now. I think of that nursery wall down there we took out. That nursery wall served its purpose for Tim Shank's office for a long time. And then it turned into a storage shed. And now, the nursery is bigger. And how much better it is now because we got rid of that wall. Everything in here is next. No. Carly, there's a whole bunch of colored chairs in here. That's where that's where it all went, anyhow. But some of that stuff's got to go. I mean, little chairs in there, they were brought to the church with the right intentions. We got 20 more down in the closet. We don't need these 50 more up here. We can give them to another church. And they can use them. Let go of some things you made and you built. Let go of some things you got. You know what? You need to let it go so it can grow. Verse number 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. You know, it's out of her hands now. I know when my kids left, and this is nowhere near the same story, not even on the same line, it doesn't even compare. But a little way it does. I love my kids. But you know what? My kids is all grown now. Man, I cried when they left. Yeah. But we still talk with them, you know. But they're in the Lord's hands now. We've taught them as much as so we could teach them, you know. Yes, they still call. Yes, we still, but it's got to let them go so they can grow. Lord's now. Let me say this. I like this one. You need to let go trying to make sense of everything. Some people just can't figure that out. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sometimes it just isn't going to make sense. This story doesn't make sense. Nobody could have made this story up. You know? It doesn't make sense that Pharaoh's daughter come down and had compassion on it. She says, you know what? I'm going to keep this child. I'm going to pay you to take care of it. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, those emotions that you got. Everything you got in your heart. Because the heart is desperately wicked above all things, right? You got to trust Him with everything. And then it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, people got problems with that. It's got to make sense all the time. I'm always fretting and trying to make sense of everything. When you should just let it go to the Lord and trust the Lord with it. And let it go. You know what? You need to let it go so it doesn't hurt others. That could be said of sin also. Sin in your life. But your Moses' mom had to, they had to let this child go. These guards come in, take this kid. Hurt her family, hurt her husband, hurt her children. No, because she let this child go, we get those first five books. What happens? She doesn't let him go. What happens? You don't let stuff go. What happens? You're just going to hang on to it. Going to hurt your family. I don't know what it is. But you also need to let go so you can heal. Whatever that might be. That's all I have. Foolishness of preaching. You know why it's foolishness? Because it's easier said than done. It's hard letting go of some things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this story, Lord, and Moses, Lord. And pray, Lord, if there's we're hanging on to anything, Lord, that you just we'd be able to let it go. Lord, give it to you. Take it to the Lord in prayer, as that song, Lord, is said. And Lord, thank you for, Lord, the friend we have in you. And Lord, I just pray you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.